Our top local story, we're working to update the condition of nine firefighters who were taken to area hospitals after a fire and subsequent explosion on board a cargo ship at Blount Island.
This morning, the fire that injured at least nine Jacksonville firefighters is still burning on board a cargo ship at Jacksport. JFRD says all the firefighters are talking. They tell us two have been flown to the burn unit at Shands in Gainesville, two were transported there on the ground, and another four are here in Jacksonville at UF Health, where one underwent surgery. One is in the ICU and two are on the trauma floor. A ninth firefighter was treated for heat exhaustion, but that was before the explosion. The U.S. Coast Guard is leading the investigation into what started the fire, but they tell us it could be days before they get the fire under control. They're bringing in specialized marine units and an oil response team to prevent any pollution. For CBS 47, Fox 30 Action News, Jax, I'm reporter Beth Russo on 104.5 WOKV.
And we did want to bring in Fire Chief Keith Powers for an update on the condition of those firefighters. Chief, I know it's been a long night. I don't even know if you've had any shut-eye, so thank you for taking the time out to update us. So what's the status of those firefighters?
Good morning. Things are about the same this morning. We may be getting a couple of them out of the hospital sometime today is what I'm being told. Obviously, it's still early this morning, and we're kind of awaiting updates. We assigned liaisons from the department to both of the hospitals where the firefighters that were injured the explosion are at. And as we get updates from the doctors, we'll be passing those along. But we've got the ones that obviously went to Gainesville to the burn unit down there are they're going to have a long row ahead of them. They had some significant burns, especially a couple of them real bad in their hand area, which is extremely difficult to heal from because of the movement and the dexterity required in the hand.
Chief, were they inside the cargo ship when they sustained the injuries? Can you kind of describe the conditions as they sustained these injuries?
Yes, they were. We had an interior crew inside, and then we had a crew kind of ready to go up and rescue should something happen. You know, shipboard firefighting, as I said last night a couple times, is probably the most dangerous firefighting we do. It's a different animal, and it's just something that we have to really respect when we're doing it. And so we had a lot of the safety precautions in place, but there was an explosion of some sort that was unexpected. And the way it was described to me by those that were on, they were on a ladder kind of coming down from the fire area that they just got completely engulfed in flames. And it blew some of them down two or three levels, in the ship. And I think that's where the one that went in surgery last night that sustained a compound fracture to his arm, I think that's what happened with him. But the burn injuries are probably going to be the longest, take the longest to heal. But they actually all came out. I was there when they were bringing them off the ship, and they actually, believe it or not, all walked off of the ship or were helped off of the ship, but they were still on their feet as they came out of there. But it was a very scary time for all of us. Obviously, being a brother firefighter, it's tough to see that. But as being the chief of the department, my goal is to make sure these men and women that do this tough job every day go home safe. And that's heartbreaking for me when we get people injured like that.
I'll bet. Chief Keith Powers, as we're talking about the condition of the firefighters, and you mentioned cargo ship firefighting is among the most complex. What makes it so difficult?
It's just there's no way. In a house fire or a building fire, if something goes wrong, a lot of times we have the ability to get out a window, a secondary means of egress. But in those ships, it's a confined space, and there's nowhere to get out should something go wrong like what happened last night. Obviously, if you're we were very fortunate last night. We were actually working from the bottom and working up into the fire. That's a lot better because, heat rises. But a lot of times on these ship fires, we have to go from the top and go down, and you're basically going down your fireplace chimney when you're doing that. All that heat is coming up, and you're going through it, going down. So it's just it's a bad situation. Obviously, there's a lot of unprotected areas in those ships where you could fall distance, and so that's actually how we lost one of our members years ago in a line of duty, Stitchway, in a line of duty death, was in a ship fire, and he fell to his death. So it's a we're extremely careful when we get on these ships.
So on this carrier ship, I understand, are more than 2,000 wrecked and salvaged vehicles. Based on that condition, would you anticipate, or is it anticipated by the crews that are still out this morning, that there may be other explosions?
Yeah, there was the explosion that hurt our firefighters. We obviously pulled everybody back got them out of there and pulled everybody back. And then there was a second explosion later on that was bigger than the first. So we don't, you know, we don't know. Obviously, we can't see in there. We don't know what's causing them. And that's why we've kind of backed our people back and are keeping the sides of the ship cool this morning and last night, just to maintain the integrity of that hull so we don't, you know, compromise the hull. But, you know, we don't know what's causing them. So until we know what's causing them, we don't know, you know, how to predict them.
So then by keeping the exterior of the ship cool, does that eventually allow the fire inside to slowly burn? I heard you last night saying this could be days ultimately before the fire is fully out.
Yeah, talking to Captain Blonde from the U.S. Coast Guard last night, he was, you know, they're the experts in this, and he was telling me that we could be, you know, looking at 2 to 5 days, you know, dealing with this if there's nothing else major happens. But those cars are put in those ships pretty tight. As you know, they put these salvage cars and these older cars and ship them overseas, and they're packed in there pretty tight, and there's not a lot of room to move. That's one of the other things that makes that style of firefighting very dangerous, is just there's not room to move around in there if they're in there so tight.
So then through the weekend, do you continue to have crews call in overtime and kind of swarm it to continue to keep it cool?
We actually, we had a little bit of overtime we had to bring in last night, obviously, because we had our hands full and had some injuries that we had to backfill their positions. But we'll mainly handle this with on-duty crews. We'll just rotate them in and out, you know, trying to keep those crews fresh and not let them get, you know, just we've gotten to the warm time of the year now and a lot of humidity. So our work time is a lot more limited than it would be in the wintertime. So we'll just keep rotating those crews out with on-duty crews and try, you know, obviously we try to manage our budget and limit our overtime as best we can.
Yeah. Do you have resources coming in from other communities to assist, or are they kind of on a standby mode for the weekend?
Our regional and local partners, and we work well with all of our surrounding counties. I mean, we have mutual aid agreements with them where we'll help them or they help us in a time of need. And I can't tell you how many, I mean, my phone was blowing up last night with offers, you know, to send firefighters from other municipalities in here to help us. Obviously, we're very fortunate, and the mayor and the city council have really got our department in a good way where we're staffed like we need to be, and we can handle these major incidents and another one going at the same time. We had another little fire going at the same time last night, and so we're in a real good place. But they were making those offers, and of course that makes your heart feel good when your brothers and sisters from surrounding departments are trying to come in and help you as well.
Indeed, that speedy recovery is what we all hope for the firefighters, 9 who were being treated. The 9th, I understand, was a heat exhaustion sort of issue. Was that firefighter discharged, you know?
Yes, I think so. And he that actually happened before the explosion. You know, he just the one thing that I kept being told before the explosion last night was that it is extremely hot in there. They kept saying that, and we could feel even standing outside the ship, you could feel the radiant heat coming through the hull of the ship. It was so warm in there. Obviously, if you look at any pictures that you can see from out there, the paint on the side of the hull was burning on the outside. That tells you how warm it was. So it was surprising that was the only one that we had that got overcome by heat, because of the atmosphere they're working in there.
Indeed. Chief Keith Powers, appreciate you carving out the time, and our thoughts are with the Jacksonville Fire Rescue Department, the firefighters who have various roads ahead to recovery from burns and the like. And we'll continue to follow the story as we move through the next several days. We'll let you get now, but stay on top of the investigation. Chief, thanks. It's 8:00.